Network. I'm your host, Fierce Messing, and today is Tuesday, baby. It is Talk About It Tuesday. We're going to talk about Television Tuesday. We are going to get on down with it. My darlings. We're going to get on down with it. It is Talk About It Tuesday. We're going to talk about television, film, movies, and everything in between. Special guest on today is Vinny Pastavivo. Now, listen. I am broadcasting live from the Windy City. Y'all know it's clear around here. It's been cold and cloudy. My God, for the last 2 weeks, I've been sitting outside. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to take my engineer booth, sit it outside, and bring the sunshine in. You know what I'm saying? So listen. We're going to have a great time. It is February 21st, 2023, 1 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone and 2 p.m. on the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Y'all know what I'm going to say up in here. The Eastern Standard Time Zone is the time zone that rocks my socks off, honey. You know, I got to push it on up to the ACL, to my home team. Must give a shout-out to my team, Fierce Nation International, the hardest working team on the planet. They are based in Kenya, Zimbabwe, East and West Africa, the UK and Germany, and my honorary member in India. Come on, Pagani! Listen, this show is being brought to you by Gumba Rum, GumbaRum.com, G-U-B-B-A-R-U-M, GumbaRum.com. We have two different flavors in stock, and no, I didn't have my drink today. Get my drink. I done taught you how to put your paws on my straw and start. Get my drink, Gizmo. Come on now. Listen, we got two different flavors in stock. Natural vanilla, which is Gumba Gold. Natural coconut, which is Gumba Silver. The CEO and the founder of Gumba Rum is Steve Shakalaka, Shakalaka, boom, boom, yeah. He's the hardest working retired man I ever did see. You know, he got to be retired because I ain't got no paycheck yet. I'm still working for free. You know what I'm saying. This time here, he's got me working for free. He's pushing Gumba Rum up and down Boston, up and down in Florida. Oh, Carol, stop interrupting me. Well, come on, baby, and do your introduction. Come on, Carol. Gumba Rum, fight Main Street. Steve will be at Grandview Liquors, 555 Main Street, every Wednesday night, 5 to 7 p.m. Grandview Liquors, 555 Main Street. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, baby. Yes, Steve's going to be at Cranberry Liquors. It is Cranberry Liquors on Main Street, 555 Main Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, listen, y'all, before I get into all the details, y'all, come on in, get your questions together. We're going to have a good time. But listen, I want you guys to visit me on Facebook. Use the keyword, The Fierce Female. When the page comes up, give it a like and a follow, and I would greatly appreciate it. Now, listen up here. Vinny is here. Oh, my God, my heart is beating. Did y'all hear that? Oh, my gosh. Vinny is here on today. Vinny is an Emmy Award-winning media advisor who grows personal brands and founder-led companies by scaling content distribution, brand visibility, and media reach. Now, listen, the man knows what he knows his business. You know what? I told you guys last week. He has been a network executive for MTV TV since 1998, 2007. So, listen, he knows a little bit about television. Can I tell you that? Well, we're going to say hello to my guest on today. Hello, Vinny. How are you?
Fierce, I am great. My heart is going brr, 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 just like yours. Here in the East Coast, it's the zone to be. I didn't get my drink on yet, but that's just all about timing in this nonlinear world. I'm excited to help people get discovered. And I can't believe it's taking me this long to discover you. This energy is contagious. And I want to show people how to take what they have and just use it to get discovered for the best use possible. Thank you for letting me be here today.
You're more than welcome. I tell you, you come with a wealth of information and knowledge. And I'm telling you, I've told my friends about it. Some of the other individuals are excited to hear the information, and they wanted those. I was going to be asking you different questions. I said, yes, I'm going to ask Vinny all the questions so you can hear it. Some of them are going to listen by download, and they're very excited to have you here on today.
I am honored, and I'm ready to answer some questions, to be really honest. I mean, sure, I show up with something that I love talking about, you know, helping people get discovered for great reasons, you know, personal reasons. And some of the names you've even talked about, some of the places I got to work at, you know, have taught me how to help people create, you know, really powerful realities for them. So I learned how to create reality for myself with the Osbournes, with Jessica and Nick Lachey on Newlyweds, you know, with so many, Nick Cannon on Wild and Out, so many awesome talent who had to go through television when that was the way to get content seen by an audience. But now that we, the independent business owner, the independent voices out there, now that we can create our own content and have it seen not only just on social media, because, you know, they take some rights, social media platforms. They it's not as clean as like what you're doing right here, where you retain ownership, 100% ownership of this content and what we can do with it to help us get more visibility, to be more shareable, and to get more ultimately more discoverable brands.
So let me ask you, for so many different people, like myself, they have podcasts. What can individuals do to package what we have? And, of course, you understand repurposing. What can we do with the content and get it packaged to get it in the right hands? How do we go about our pitching to get it discovered on a larger scale? What do we do?
Oh, I love that question. All right. So first off, you asked specifically, how do we move content? And I just want to point out the difference between media and content. Content is the actual episode. Media is a podcast. So media is a place where content is put and seen and heard and exhibited. And media is a place where that is exhibited. Content is the actual message itself, right? So a couple of answers. One, I'm assuming you're talking about podcast owners who might be creating content that they are even, you know, maybe originally airing as a podcast episode. Let's assume that that's, or maybe here as a radio episode, live streaming digital radio. you might not like this first step, but I'm just going to be very practical because I want you all to have very solid advice coming from me on this. The first thing I want you to do to package and prepare your content so that you can pitch it is to make sure you have releases. It's actually really important. The legal release that says that you have the right to use my voice and connected to this copyright. And it's fierce. If you don't have – I think you do have one already, but if you don't, I have one that's been given to me, approved by YouTube and NBC and CBS and Spotify and all the platforms that I've worked for. So the first thing – I ask you all to do, if you're creating content, is to make sure you have a release form signed from your guests if your content contains any audio or photo or video assets of guests. All right. The second part of your question that I loved and how you framed it was you said, how do we take the content that we have and package it? Oh, man, fierce. You're already killing it with that question because I can't tell you how many times I hear, I don't have enough to package. I need what everyone else has to package. And how do I get my package to look like everyone else's package? And I want to take what everyone else has, you know, out there, this idea that there's a quote-unquote correct package for all. And that's a big myth. I've been in rooms on TV, in TV networks where a show is sold by a verbal pitch. I've been in a room when it was sold by a deck, by a Skype interview, by a $50,000 reel. I've seen all shapes and sizes of ways projects get created. But if you don't have the clarity up top, you don't have your legal information set up front, it's going to make packaging really, really tough. So understanding that you have something really unique out of the gate is probably more important. And actually understanding that you are the thing that probably makes your project more unique than the project itself, I think is a really important piece to remember, especially if we're looking to take our content and in cooperation, work with another platform, another business, which ultimately means another person, right, who is going to be the person that we interact with, interface with. When I tell a show at a TV network, I'm working with the same development executive during development in season one that I was when I sold the show. It's the same person who walks with me. So I'm mindful of that. This is just really high-level networking. Does this person trust me? Do they see me as a story? Am I pitching them story after story after story, or do they see me as the source? And do they see me as someone worthy of, to be honest, being background checked and verified and going through the process to make sure that what I say is actual and what I say I can deliver, I do deliver? Because these people in the public sector of content, they have deliverables. They have quotas. They have weekly, if not daily, quotas. They have needs for content, as opposed to be blunt, on social media, where most people don't need to know our podcast episode is coming up next. But there are media platforms that have to have a certain amount of posts to go out every single week, and it's those people who are looking for us to reach out to them. I'll speed this up a little bit because I feel like I'm dragging a bit. Or you tell me, or if you want to have questions that you want to dig down on, please feel free to ask and let me know. My last point, I'll say this, and then I want to open it up for questions or input, is oftentimes we want to pitch a half-hour show or a 60-minute show or a movie or something kind of like big and large and, you know, impactful and gigantic and 30 minutes. And oftentimes, it's the smaller segment, it's the 30-second, the 90-second, the 2-minute segment that actually is easier for other news channels, podcasts, TV shows, press outlets. It's easier for them to take a 2-minute segment and drop it into an existing 30-minute show than it is to try to find space for our 30-minute show or our entire podcast episode. So coming up with original sizes really helps. I actually develop my podcast based on segments. If you look at Ellen or Late Night Show or Late Show or any of those late shows, you'll see they have Steve Harvey actually is a great example. Steve Harvey has one talk show, but his opening monologue is its own podcast. The Q&A with Steve Harvey is its own podcast. The interviews with guests is its own podcast. And literally, you can see how they built these segments that create an audio library. When I'm watching Jimmy Fallon, I see him do what feels like, you know, a social media segment. It feels like he, you know, a bunch of actors in the closet, in a small kid closet, playing a song with a kazoo. It feels social media. It feels digital. And sure enough, before that show is even over, that they've got that clip on Instagram ready for people to share it. And they realized, television, big TV, realized that it's truly not about visibility. And it's not about visibility that leads to discoverability. It's about shareability. And if we can create these segments that appear to be highly shareable and then put them in social media and let people share them, I mean, Ellen was a genius at this, you know. We would see something so cute. We would see a really talented kid. And then we would start to think, oh, I hope Ellen gets a production deal with them. Oh, I can't wait to watch them on Ellen's YouTube channel. Like, we almost expected it because of, you know, her brand and her ability to create shareable content. So it's creating, first off, ownership. Secondly, our unique assets. And I love how you framed that question, like what makes us unique. And we can go a little bit deeper in that if you'd like. And then third is the size. The size really – changing up the size really does help. Even if you have a podcast now and it's, you know, you have a format and it's 45 minutes or 30, whatever it is, I recommend having a 1 to 2 minute highlight in between episodes every once in a while. It gives people who are time conscious, it gives people the ability to look at your podcast or your radio show and say, look, I see there's normally 30-minute episodes, but there's a 2-minute episode. I'm going to listen to that and give it a shot. I'm going to listen to that, and if I like it, I can share that, you know. And those are just three basic steps to make sure that you own your content, that you are my favorite part of where we're at right now in media is not bending to the media platform but standing tall and being discovered at a point in time with, like, in a conversation that we're proud to be a part of, that we want to be a part of, not that we have to be a part of to be in the limelight on television to get you know, visibility. That those days of me being a casting director or tapping you on your shoulder, those are long past gone. You have so much control over when and how and by whom you and with whom you get discovered. And again, having ownership of your space is really the first place to kick it off. And then be mindful of your shapes and sizes of content. Again, I bring this up because we focus on 30-minute, 45-minute, 60-minute increments. And television, if I have a 30-minute show, that actually equates to 22 and a half minutes of content spread out over four acts, what they call it, with 3 to 4 commercials in between. So even then, just know that when I'm creating content on a television level, like, they give it to me in those time fragments, those time segments, as mm-hmm. opposed to one cohesive, like, long period of time.
Okay. Now, I do want to shift gears just a little bit. Now, you let me know if this is in your realm of conversation, but, and the reason I'm bringing up this particular question is because this is something I experience all the time and daily. Of course, on this show, I get a lot of different people, and I deal with a lot of music, and I hear a lot of fantastic talent from so many different artists, and it's like, oh my gosh, they need to be somewhere, you know, seen bigger than right here. And I'm just wondering, well, what do or how do I direct different talents? I see so many different people come to me, artists that have really great, phenomenal music, and they're acting, they're singing on such a level that's far beyond maybe their years. For instance, this is a great example. I had a 12-year-old that came on. His mm-hmm. name was Antonio. I could not believe the talent that little boy had, 12 years old, and he was singing like Paul McCartney. I'm like, oh, my God, he needs to be somewhere. He needs to be somewhere on TV. He needs to be doing something other than you know, being seen right here. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, I'm like, I wish. A lot of times every day I have that feeling where I wish there was a little bit more that I could do, because the people that come and get dropped in my lap are so amazing. So amazing. And what, you know, what would you say to something like that? What would be your advice? What would be your advice when that happens?
My advice to the parents or to the children or to you?
Well, an advice to someone that has a show, something like mine, and you come across these different individuals with great talent, what advice can I give them to get them a little bit further to where they're trying to get to?
Oh, I love that question. Twofold, and when I'm so passionate about young talent, you know, part of my answer has to start with self-confidence. You know, what's the number one thing you can do for talent, great young talent that are just tremendous talent, you know, just tremendous, tremendous over-the-top, you know, artistic, creative talent is to teach them self-confidence. To be really honest, it's probably the most transferable skill set. It's something I wish I would have been taught more as a kid in my younger life, but it's actually where I ended up getting some of my developing some of my coping mechanisms turned superpowers into how and why I became a creative person. Really, it came from a lack of self-confidence as a child, because I didn't get it from my parents or some of the places where I was expected to get it from. And it took me a really long time to learn it. And if a child with exceptional talent, regardless of what it is, doesn't have the self-confidence, it's not about mastering the art. It's not about mastering the skill. It's not about spending hours and hours and hours doing the craft. But self-confidence is going to help them make sure they never find themselves in a really sticky situation that unfortunately happens in the entertainment industry, that we hear time after time after time again, over and over again. And that's infuriating. And I think that self-confidence will help these young artists avoid some of those red flags that may show up in their career. I think it'll also give them tremendous purpose and help them get laser sharp on goals. you know, one of the best ways to build self-confidence in a young artist is to have them reach attainable goals. You know, there's no better way to create confidence in yourself than to know what you can do versus what you're capable of doing. And sometimes when that gap gets too big, when I can do and when I'm capable of doing, when that's too big, for me as an adult, that's where imposter syndrome creeps in. Kids are lucky. Kids, they have the blessing, I don't know, actually, because of social media. This might be different. I have to think about my answer on this one. But kids, generally speaking, know what they know. And, well, no, I think they're a lot more aware of what they don't know than I did. I just think that so that's one answer that I'd love to put out there. That's like when I have the opportunity to be in front of somebody with exceptional talent, I really make sure that's like the first thing that pops into head. The second thing is, how could you, as a stage builder, as someone who's created a community, who's created an audience, who's created an audio show, possibly this is available for podcast listeners afterwards, so people might be able to listen afterwards. Is that how your show works, or is this radio only?
Yes, it is. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, is there a podcast after?
Yes, it's a podcast, and then it gets pushed out all over to all the major streaming platforms.
I love that.
All the ones I know, and then some that I don't even know of. It's on there.
Oh, I love. Good. So you believe in the message, and you believe in getting this message out to an audience that you might not have even touched yet, but you know that this message will touch. If you aren't using all, you know, every podcast has three ads, a pre-roll, a mid-roll, and a post-roll, and that basically means an ad can be put into a recording well after it's been recorded, and it plays in real time. So if you drop your ads into your podcast this week, the people who listen to your podcast episodes will hear the ads from this week in real time. And you have the ability to place an ad in the beginning, at the end, and in the middle, anywhere where you want in the middle of your podcast. One of the ways that you might use your ads is, and I do this on my podcast, my podcast is called I Have a Podcast. And at the end of all my podcasts, I have so many awesome friends that are creating big, brilliant tools for podcasters and creators. I give a space up. I'm happy to record an ad in a promotional audio mention for somebody to learn about the tools that people are creating. One of the ways you might be able to create a space for these kids that you're meeting is to have them record a 30-second or a 60-second, you know, ad, a 30-second or a 60-second soundbite, or a 30-second or 60-second, let's call it a reel or an audio recording, where you say, you know, we're met all the time with awesome people. Here's someone you have to meet with his, you know, whatever his parents approved social media handle is, and then maybe we can hear them playing the instrument or getting a brief sample of their song. You know, that would be a way to bring in an organized way, to bring in the benefits of the world that you're creating without having to bring them into our, like, topical conversations, you know, every episode, but for it still to be part of the experience. And I think that it's almost like basically what I'm saying to you is, like, make them the opening act or make them the closing act. But this is the way it works with, you know, the majors. I don't know how, you know, I remember going to see Christina Aguilera when Destiny's Child opened for Christina Aguilera. It's crazy to think Beyonce was in like a one-fifth of a group that opened up for Christina Aguilera at one point. But there's a reason why these stars shine. They have this halo effect, and they shine, and they introduce new artists to us in unique ways. And this might be one of the ways that people can connect with them as well.
Also,
break the format. Why not have a talent show? Why not have a fierce female talent show? Like, that would be super cool, and where everyone's a winner, and there's constructive feedback. And I can go on and on and on about, like, you got me inspired now, because now you're talking my language.
You know what?
Like, how do we set creative children up to be successful? That's what we got to do. So I'm all into that conversation.
You know what? You know something, Ben? It's funny that you said that, because last year I had been thinking about that since last year about doing a talent show. I'm like, oh, my God, there's so many people that I get. And I'm like, somebody or needs to come up with an online talent show where they can be, you know, getting more exposure. It'll be a lot of fun, you know, to do a talent show. That's something I've been thinking about doing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. What's holding you back? You know what? You got that most people who have this idea, you know what you have that most people who probably have this idea don't have? Talent, to be really honest. It sounds to me, I can relate to what you're going through right now because you're saying this. Hey, I didn't ask to put on a talent show. Like, that is not why I think God put me here. But God also didn't put all these tremendously talented children in front of me and then put this little tiny seed in the back of my brain and make me come to this idea on my own without the challenge. You know, I hear that a little bit. Like, you see an opportunity where this is what I love about what we do, specifically in audio, where there's publishing and research and coordinating. This is a very different skill set than, you know, influencers in the creator economy have. What we're doing right here, producing content on serialized content on a recurring basis. And it's those types of audiences that are built for moments like what you're experiencing where, hey, all of a sudden you just happen to have 5, 7, 10. Look, let me say it this way, Fierce. If you're looking for a co-host, count me in. If you need me to help you find a more fierce female co-host because I don't cut it, then also count me in. I'll do some work and connect you with some people who I think could be great at putting a show together like this. Also, what a fun opportunity for your sponsors or your clients or your partners to be a part of something like this.
It's amazing. And I'm telling you, Vinny, I had Christine Karma. When you talk about opening acts, I know exactly what you mean. Christine Karma was the VIP opener for Lady Gaga. So, and she's been on this show. She's been on this network. And so it is amazing the people that walk through my doors. And I have a television show that I work with. Fighting for the Family is another one of my babies. And that show is already produced. It's already been out there. And, I mean, we're looking to sell it, you know, even bigger. I mean, so it's like the door is open and the people are coming in, Vinny. And so I'm like, oh, my God, God has blessed me with an amazing group of people that are ready. And, you know, that's a blessing within itself to have people that's coming in the door that's ready.
I mean, look, because you brought his name up, so I'm a vibe with you on this one. But, like, look, God didn't give you all those people and not expect you to do something with them. Like, you got, like, before it starts raining, like, if you get the ARC instruction sent in your bell, you better not open up don't open up the mail. You know, like, these people, they come into our lives I can so relate to your journey on how you just described this opportunity you see here, because I got my start in the entertainment industry because someone told me that the best way for me to be in casting was to take out an ad on something called Backstage. Now it's called Backstage.com. So, by the way, to the parents who have these talented children, I would also say keep an eye out on something called Backstage.com. It's a place for non-union actors go for opportunities. But it was this woman who told me to take out this ad on Backstage, and it was almost under 700 responses I got. And I was a database guy. Like, I was good at databases, and I liked people, but, like, I was creative. But I never thought I'd get into casting. It was my ability to organize information, the people's information, and put them into a database and then stay in touch with them and show them casting opportunities. And then one of the casting opportunities I was going to send them said, MTV is shooting with Whitney Houston in Times Square tomorrow at 2 p.m. Show up and be part of the audience. So I thought, okay, this one must be for me. Thanks. I'll take, you know, two for you, one for me, two for you, one for me. And I took that sign from God, and I went to Times Square with two of my friends, and I got picked in an audience from Times Square by Ananda Lewis to ask a question to Whitney Houston. And by the way, the question was, Whitney, what was it like courting with Mariah Carey on the Prince of Egypt soundtrack? That was my big question. And unfortunately, when Whitney came out in the show in the Times Square, and then the stage manager points to me and they say, I'm going to ask the question. They tell her the question. I saw Whitney say this. I saw her go, I'm not answering that question. I'm like, of course Whitney Houston is not going to answer this question about Mariah Carey. Like, why you got me asking this question? But I did something that I didn't realize was a thing that changed my life. I said, thank you. And I didn't just offer to help. I told someone how I could help them. I said, thank you. This was a great experience. If you ever need more people like this last minute, I have a database of like over 500 people, and I'm looking to put it into action. And then that producer said to me, well, tomorrow we're shooting a very Busta Christmas special with Busta Rhymes. You think you could get 30 people in the studio for tomorrow? And I said, what? Yeah, of course. This is, yes. And it was being open to those opportunities that ultimately gave me the career that I ended up having. I had literally no clue what I would do in life. And I hear that in your story about these children. You know, you've been blessed to be behind a mic and to talk to talented people, and maybe even talented people who lean in favor of an audio platform. So, like, you know, because we're in audio, we attract a certain ear and a certain voice. So I love the gift that you've been tasked with. I don't want to say given, but the gift you've been tasked with. And any way I can help you build a space or an experience for something like that, I'm happy to connect, you know, offline. But this is, by the way, you're making me think of like when Nick Cannon came in. I'll never forget when he pitched me Wildin' Out, and everyone said no. They didn't get it. What?
You're kind of giggling because, Vinny, I kid you not, that is one of my most favorite shows, Wildin' Out.
Love it. Is it really? Oh,
yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Oh, I've learned so much from, I mean, I've just learned so much from that man. I worked with him, obviously, when he was a kid, and helping him move from Nickelodeon to MTV, that was really like that was the small move that I got to help him with. And Wildin' Out was, you know, I learned a lot of lessons from you know, MTV told him no. They didn't get it. They didn't see the importance of what the show would do for the community, the cultural community, the comedy community, the youth community that was watching television at large. They didn't get it. And I remember Nick, it was during, like, he pitched it maybe like right before Thanksgiving, because it was in between Christmas break. He was dating Christina Milian, and him and Christina went and they basically bought out like a comedy club over Christmas break when no one was using it. And they recorded what ended up being the little pilot for it. And I think it was, you know, and back then Christina and Nick were like, you know, they were like the silver screen golden couple of youth. Back then, I think Can't Hardly what was their remake that they did? Oh gosh, now I'm like, not Can't Hardly Wait. What is the name of this movie that they did? It's driving me crazy. Anyway, I'll think about it. And it was their energy and the two of them showing up together. And then he came back and pitched that show, and MTV said they got it and they understand, and went ahead and finally commissioned the episodes. And it's just been a beast of a show. But he fought hard. He fought hard for that show to be what it is, for the people to be in it. I mean, he's very hands-on on those shows. Those are the shows that I know are set for – those are franchises that I know are set for a while. I'm lucky. I'm lucky to have Wildin' Out and The Challenge are two franchises on MTV that I was a part of helping launch and cast, and getting Nick and DJ Drek to be on Wildin' Out, and getting TJ Lavin on The Challenge. You know, getting the old guys on MTV Networks. Who knew that was going to be part of my legacy? But it really is such an awesome part of my legacy, those people.
You know, and it's so amazing. It's amazing to have you on. We are pretty much out of time, and I've been sitting, I'm like, I got so much in my box here, you know. I want to give you an opportunity. We are pretty much out of time, and guess what? I do want to continue this conversation with you offline, and I think
that.
Thank you. I think there's so much I think God brought you in my journey, along on my journey for a reason. I do. I just believe that because there's so much that's been going on the network, on this show and off the show, and with Fight for the Family, which is our TV series. And I'm telling you, but Vinny, you got to hear at least one person that I think is an amazing artist. And I'm going to ask you what you think about this person's their gifts and their talent. This one's called Calls Me Friend. And I love this. His name is Sammy. I call him. He's called Old Sammy. But listen, the name of the song is Calls Me Friend. I'm just going to play a few seconds if it's okay with you, if you have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to do just a little bit of Calls Me Friend. Here we go. This is Old Sammy. Come on, Sammy. Come on, Sammy. I got to have a follow-up. Do your thing. Give me your professional opinion. What do you think about my friend, Old Sam?
It's you know, it's got soundtrack potential. It feels like opening credits or closing credits. It feels like, you know, the cast of Shrek doing a synchronized dance. It feels like almost like we're panning into New York City on this awesome, awesome, beautiful sunny day, and the view is getting tighter and tighter into someone's window, and we realize they're just, like, you know, in their living room dancing and celebrating and being themselves. It's plucky. It feels very bright and vibrant. It feels very outdoors. I feel a lot of sunshine. And get that song. If this is a new song, get that song out now, because March and April is when summer hits are made. And I think that that's a strong song for sure.
Okay. And so you see what I mean, Vinny? These guys are amazing. That's just one.
Yeah.
And I don't want to keep you because I know you are busy, Vinny, and I don't want to keep you past our allotted time. And so I'm telling you, I am just floored by the talent. And Sammy, he has high self-confidence. He's full of personality. He's all over TikTok. People just love him. Everybody loves Old Sammy. I'm really good friends with, his name is Sammy Anderson. And so he just came across my path, and I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll play your song. I'll do it for you. And boom, you know, he comes back. He gives me one music. He's amazing. He's just amazing.
Well, when you're headed in the right direction, you'd be surprised with who comes along and crosses your path. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Vinny, I have really enjoyed you. You are amazing. I love your personality, your spirit, your soul is just so wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing during my episode. And I cannot wait to work with you.
Yeah. Let's get these kids a platform, and let's get them some deals. Like, let them be like, remember when that you said you were going to get us a deal, and they go back and listen to this episode. That's right. I'm excited.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, Vinny, I am pretty much out of time. Thank you again for your time. I'm going to end this episode not with my closing music, but I'm going to do Betcha by Golly Wow. His name is L.T. Turner Jr. I love this man. Every time he opens his mouth to sing, I faint. So listen, Gizmo, come on, Gizmo. You got to hold Mama up. You know, everybody calls me Mama. Come on, baby. Come on over here to my booth here. Come on in. Come on. Just walk on up here. So listen, we're going to end the show with Betcha by Golly Wow, L.T. Turner, and Gizmo. You prop Mama up because I'm about to pass out. Here we go.
There's a spark of magic in your eyes. Candyland appears each time you smile.
Don Kenise, the man that made Soul Train what it was in the winter city. It is peace, love, and